Father, bless these words to our hearts and give us words from your heart to ours, in Jesus' name. This is going to be a very different message. When I sat down to prepare this message today, I had a completely different set of thoughts in mind, and the Holy Spirit gave me something I had never seen before. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. But before you go there, we're going to look at a couple of passages. In 1 John 1:1, the Word of God says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life." Many believers get into a position where something is happening in their life. Maybe a testing or a trial. Remember, maybe they're having to wait on something. Maybe they're praying for something and they're not getting results by sight. Maybe they get into a place in their life where there seems to be nothing happening. I like what Ecclesiastes says, "Can you see the bones growing in the womb?" This is an important thing to realize. Conception is dramatic, childbirth is dramatic, but in between, you don't see anything at all. Can you see the bones growing in the womb? You think there's nothing happening, but there is. You don't see the work that God is doing in your own heart, but He is working in your heart. Can you see the bones in the womb? Now, why do believers get to the point where they are unable to even believe? They become negative at times, or perhaps the challenge is overwhelming for them. It's right here. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard." That which was from the beginning, which we have what? Which we have heard. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. The Word of God is that which imparts life. A lot of believers in the world live in a place of spiritual deadness. They are born again, but they can't say that they have the life of God flowing through them. Why is this? Because they have not heard the Word of life, or they have turned, after they have heard, away from the Word of life. And it brings them to a place of spiritual deadness. In Philippians 2 and verse 13, the Word of God says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will all His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the Word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." How does the Word of God produce light in the believer? It is through those who labor for that believer. It was Paul who labored for the Philippians. It was not the Philippians who did the laboring. The Philippians received what Paul labored for. I receive what my pastor labors for. It is not I that does the laboring. It is the pastor that does the laboring. And the pastor's labor in the Word of God produces a Word of life in my soul. And once that pastor's labor produces the Word of life in my soul, that turns to light for the rest of the world. This is why they could be light to a crooked and unbelieving generation. The Philippians were not the crooked and unbelieving generation. They were a light to that generation. And it came through what the pastor had preached to them when it was the anointed Word of God. in Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary. More than my necessary what? Well, the word of God does not include the word food that the King James includes there. We say the word is more necessary than my daily food. You know what? It's more necessary than that. The word of God is esteemed more than anything that I believe is necessary. If I have something that I believe is more necessary than the word of God, I'm deceived. Whatever it is that I have that I consider this necessary in my life, maybe it's food, maybe it's companionship, maybe it's a job, maybe it's an education, whatever it is, the Word of God is more. The Word of God is more. There is nothing in your life that is more necessary than the Word of God. Why? Because it is your life. It is the Word of life. Your life comes from the Word of God. Do you know why people can't get victory? Do you know why people can't get peace in their heart? Do you know why people can't get overcome anxiety or nervousness or frustration or anger or whatever it happens to be? Because the Word of God is not their life. There is something that they think is more necessary than the Word. The Word will produce life in the one who receives it. You can't help yourself. They will simply do that. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 6, "But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole ground." What does this mean? What was the earth? You see, this is a picture of what happens to the believer as God's Word is producing life in him. This is talking about us. Have you ever wondered why it was that God made such an issue of the fact that he said things in Genesis chapter 1? Well, there's a reason for that. See, the water went out from the earth and it watered the ground. There was a mist and it watered the ground. Let's take a look at that. In Genesis chapter 1, and starting with verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now be careful there. It is not talking about what we think of as heavens. And it is not talking about God's heaven. What it is saying, God created the space that contained the earth and the earth. You want to know what the oldest thing in the universe is? The earth. Right there in your Bible. God created a space, and in that space he formed the earth. "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." God, in Genesis 2:7, formed man of the dust of the ground, of the earth. We were formed of the earth. In the beginning, we were formed of the earth. This is us. Genesis chapter 1 is us in a picture. Yes, it's literally talking about the formation of the things that are. but it is also a picture of us. We are of the earth. And so in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created His kingdom and us. It's a different heaven than here. But God created His kingdom and us in the beginning, because we are the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Ever feel like that? Without form and void? What does that mean? It is a desolate, empty place. That's what it means, without form and void. It is desolate and empty. Have you ever been desolate and empty? I will guarantee you, you have. And this is where God starts with you, when you are desolate and empty. This is why so many people have to come to the end of themselves before they respond to God. Because God has to get them to a place where they are desolate and empty. And so the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the deep calls into the deep, but their deep had darkness in it, and there was no light there. And sometimes I go in a place where I feel like there is no light there. And it is dark there in the deep. It is not just dark outwardly, it is dark in the deep. And this is a true trial of my faith, where it is dark in the deep. Where I may be in a trial that no one even sees, because it's not a trial just of my faith, it's a trial of my heart before God. And this is the trial, when darkness is in the deep. And the Spirit of God moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Spirit of God called to that dark deep where the darkness was in my heart. And He moved. And where did He move? He moved in the waters that He had given me. He moved to the Word of God that I had once received, and it was now lodged in my memory. And although it may not have been something that I actively live in, it was still in my memory. There was still a calling to me from the back of my mind, from the back of my heart. And it had God's Word in it. And the Spirit of God moved upon this water that was there in my heart, even though it was in the darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. All of a sudden, God took the Spirit of God, took the Word of God that was in the back of my heart, stored ever so faintly, just a glimmer, a distant, vast, faint memory. A distant, faint memory. And God called to it. And that faint memory became light unto my heart. And all of a sudden, that faint memory of the Word of God starts to produce hope in my soul. And that faint memory of the Word of God is what the Holy Spirit uses in the heart of the believer to bring him to where God wants him. And there was light. You see, where there was darkness, even the faintest of the Word of God will produce light. In my heart, when I get to that place where I am in darkness, even the faintest memory of the Word of God is light. And it will be light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And all of a sudden, God's character is there in that light. And there's a hope that is given by God in that light. And there is a mercy and a kindness, and there's an encouragement there. Because it is light, and God says, "This is good. This is my nature." And God divided the light from the darkness. And things start to become a little bit more clear for that believer. God divides the darkness from the light. God divides what the world, the enemy, my old sin nature did to me. God divides me from all my wrong decisions. And now there is light and there is darkness, and I can see the difference between the two. And God divides the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and He called the darkness night. And now I have a day in my life. And now there is something whereby I can see. And with my spiritual eyes, they have been opened, and I can see, and there is a day coming. There is a morning arising. This is why morning to morning, God's mercies are new. Why? What does the morning speak of? The resurrection. Every moment there is a resurrection. Every moment there is a new life. Every moment there is a portion from the throne of God. And there is day in my life. Oh, there is a night, and maybe I'm still in the night, but now I see the morning coming. You ever get there at the crack of dawn? Across the horizon, you can see that glimmer? A little faint glow? This is what we're talking about. This little faint glow of the Holy Spirit in my heart. In the evening and the morning were the first day. And the night that led to the morning. What is the first day? Well, what does one mean? One is the number of God. And you don't realize it, but the evening and the morning, they were the day of God. God brought that evening. But every evening had a morning following it. The Jews did not say morning to evening. They said evening to morning. There was always a morning that followed the evening. The world says, oh, morning and then evening. But the believer says, no, evening and then morning. We start in a place of darkness and we enter into a place of light because the Holy Spirit is in us. And it is God. And it is the day of God. The evening and the morning were the first day. This is where we begin after we have been separated from God. This is where we begin after perhaps we have failed. This is perhaps we got attacked, perhaps we got wounded, whatever it may be. Whether it's what I have done to myself or what somebody else has done to me, it doesn't make much difference. I end up in the same place. This is where we begin. God brings the day of the Lord. And there is light. And God said in verse 6, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters above the firmament. And it was so. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let there be a firmament. Let there be an expanse, a vault. Let there be the heavens. What does this mean? This is exactly what the waters produce in the believer's life. Notice that the heavens were surrounded by water. This vast expanse was surrounded by water. The Word of God produces the kingdom of God in a practical, experiential reality in my life. That's what Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And now I have gone from a place of darkness to light, to now I have the Word of God. And the Word of God produces God's kingdom in a practical, experiential reality where I'm functioning in the kingdom, not just talking about it. Where I experience it on a moment-by-moment basis. And it is through the Word of God that the kingdom becomes a reality in my life. And it's surrounded by His Word. And there's a firmament in the waters. And God called the firmament heaven. The kingdom of God within you. God called it heaven. In the evening and the morning or the second day? Second day, number two has a couple of meanings. It can be separation if God is not in it. But it can also be a reconciliation or a unification when God is in it. The two become one. How can two walk together unless they are agreed? If I am not agreed, I am separated. But if I am agreed with God's Word, I am reconciled in my practical experience. And so that is the second day, the day of reconciliation. And so on the first day, God brought in light. On the second day, He brings in reconciliation. And continuing in verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. Let the Word of God become resident in my heart. Don't let it be abstract and disorderly. Let it become clear and resident. Let it have distinct boundaries and put it in one place. And let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. What is the dry land? It is the soil. It's the soil. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And so now I had soil and I had the Word of God. And the Word of God became clear doctrine. And the Word of God took on categories of meaning. And there was a boundary and a distinctness to it. And the Word of God separated out the soil. And the soil became unique and distinct also. And the portion that is the believer came to the surface and became unique. And God says it is good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and a fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. What did God do with the earth? With the soil? God planted seed. Why did God plant the seed? And where did the seed come from? The seed came from what God said. And God said, let there be. The Word of God produces a seed in me. The things that God says, the things my pastor tells me, it produces a seed in me. And it yields fruit after its kind. And so the pastor produces a seed in me. And if it's a good seed, it brings in good fruit. It's a seed of doctrine. And the doctrine produces fruit after its kind. That means that the doctrine of faith rest produces faith rest. The doctrine of eternal security gives me eternal security in my salvation. The doctrine of the Word of God keeps me quickened by the Word of God. The doctrine of the love of God keeps me in His nature. And so the fruit comes after its kind. The fruit comes after the type of seed that the pastor, through the Word of God, sowed in my heart. And it produces fruit in me. Oh, but we have to be careful. There are those who do not produce good fruit. What is it that I take in? What is it that I am available to? What is it that I'm willing to listen and hear? What if it's not good fruit? You see, people get so careless with the things that they will allow into their heart. But everything will produce fruit. Because everything will produce a tree. Because everything is a seed of some sort or another. And so I have to be careful that the fruit that I have is the fruit from the right tree, because the right seed has been planted into my heart. And I have to guard my heart against things like negativity and fear, insecurity, unbelief, anger, whatever it is. I have to guard my heart against the fruit that the world may plant, against the seed that the world may plant, so that I don't produce the world's fruit. Have you ever seen Christians who are no different than the world? Wrong seed, wrong tree, and wrong fruit. But they're no different than the world. Oh, it's the seed that's been planted. This is why it's so important that parents are careful to bring up their children in godliness and conviction. Why? Because the seeds that are being sown right now, when you have children, those are the seeds that are going to spring up into a tree that produces fruit. So I have to be careful to sow the right seed in my family and with my children, because it will come to fruition. There will be fruit. And you get these Christian homes. And I'm not saying that every child that goes wrong is the fault of the parents by any means. Sometimes you have wonderful parents and their children make their own decisions, but it still came from a seed that was planted from somewhere. This is why people have to guard their hearts, because you're planting seeds. And you may not see it right away. Rarely do you see it right away. But you're planting seeds. It's like these kids that watch these cartoons, these nasty cartoons on Saturday mornings. Just wait 10 years. See what the fruit of that one is. These people who do these things or listen to things they ought not listen to, or look at things they ought not look at, see what the fruit is in a few years. Do you see why I'm so adamant? Why I don't hesitate to teach you about the importance of the pastor teacher? Because you won't see it today, and you won't see it tomorrow, and you probably won't see it next month, but you will see it next year. And the fruit will come. The tree will grow and the fruit will come. Do you see why I'm so adamant about the Word of God and making sure that you get the Word of God? Why? Because you need those seeds, and you need that fruit, and you need that life if you are to have any life at all. It's the Word of God that produces life. Plant the right seeds. Plant the right seeds. Do you understand what I'm saying? Plant the right seeds in all things. Plant the right seeds. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Third is the number of fullness. The fullness of God, the fullness of what God does, is the third day. So we started in darkness, and the earth was without form and void, and there's a light, faint memory of God's word, maybe something you learned as a kid in Sunday school. And God took it and made it into light. And then he came and brought the kingdom of heaven within me. And he brought out the soil and planted fruit in it. And now there is fruition, and the oneness and the fullness of the work of God is starting to well up in me. It's starting to be produced in me. You see, that thing about the fruit is so important about the seed. Why, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, you know them by their fruits. You know them by their fruit. You cannot fake fruit. Oh, you can pretend for a season, but it will not last. ultimately the pretense will go away and you will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Have you ever had a tree that was good? Or have you ever had a tree that was bad? That bad tree never did bring forth any good fruit. That good tree brought forth a lot of good fruit. It's the tree from the seed that was right. That's what made your fruit. Be careful about what you plant. Be careful about how you respond to the Word of God or how you respond to your pastor. You want to make sure you get the good seed. How do you know if it's good seed? What's the pastor's fruit? Where did the seed come from? Because he is a tree that is bearing fruit that has seed. And that seed is what he's planting in you. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. You want to know if the man is right? What's his fruit? If he's right, he'll have good fruit. If he's not right, he'll have bad fruit. What's his fruit? What's the fruit? What is the fruit anyway? What does fruit mean? People talk about fruit like it's an apple. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? In Galatians 5:22, love and all the things that stem out of the love of God. That's the good fruit. Is it perfection? No, it's love. It's the love of God being shed abroad. That's the fruit. It's Galatians 5:22. And then I have joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and temperance and meekness and patience because I have the love of God. That's the fruit. In Genesis 1:14 we continue. And God said, let there be lights. Notice it's plural. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let there be lights. What is it, lights? When the Word of God produces areas in my life that become life, they become light. Light to whom? To a crooked and a perverse generation. Light to the other believers. When my testimony in God becomes a part of my daily life and I don't even recognize it because I have lights. I have plural lights. I have more than one light. Why? Because I have more than one area of doctrine in my life where God has taken over. Where in every category of life there is a category of doctrine. And everything that I deal with, God's light through His Word permeates and saturates my being. And then I become lights. Not just light. Specific, precise for everything in life. I become light. And this is what God produces in me through His Word. So I went from darkness unto light. And I went from light unto the kingdom. and I went from the kingdom unto fruit, and the fruit is now light. And it became for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. Became for signs and seasons of what? It became a testimony unto the Word of God. It became a testimony unto God, where my life becomes a written epistle, because God's law is written in the heart. And all of a sudden it becomes signs and for seasons, unto days, unto years, unto parts of people's lives, unto parts of my own life, and unto those things which last for a long time. Unto trials, but also unto lifestyles. So my life takes on a life of the Word of God. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven. That aspect of the kingdom of God revealed through the believer, surrounded by the Word of God. And it was so. And God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, the Savior and His Word, and the lesser light to rule the night, the Shekinah glory revealed in the believer, God's reflected glory in the believer, so that even when there is darkness, there is God's reflected glory. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give them light upon the earth, and to rule the day over the, and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. What is the fourth day talking about? What is the number four? The number four is the earth. It's the soil. That's the day that the soil was transformed. It was no longer just soil and fruit. It was a transformation into the life of God. Continuing in verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every mingled fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. This is where the life of the believer starts to impart life to other believers. This is where disciples are made. This is where churches grow. This is how God is reproduced. The body of Christ starts to reproduce itself. In 1 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under the law. To them that are without, as without, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they are that they which run the race run all? Know ye not that they which run the race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. What is this saying? We reproduce the life of God. We become servants rather than demanding to be served. We reveal Christ rather than demanding Him from you. We become servants so that we may win the lost, so that we may make disciples, so that the body of Christ may be multiplied, so that people may enter the kingdom and know what it means to have the kingdom living in them. and this was the fifth day. What is five? Five is grace. This is where the government of grace becomes the reality for the believer. When life is flowing out and reproducing itself, we are operating in the government of grace. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Why male and female? One who initiates and one who responds. I initiate what I and I respond. And this is who I am as a man. I am an initiator and I am a responder. And this is how I grow. And this is how this all happens in the believer's life. As one who initiates and responds. What do I initiate? I initiate that which I have received. What do I respond to? I respond to that which I have received. So I get from God and I give it back out. And I get from God and it pours out of me. And people are being trained and disciples are being made and souls are getting saved as I am a responder and I initiate. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Sow in. God said to them, sow in. Be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth. And subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. What's this talking about? This is no longer talking about the souls. The dominion, I don't take dominion over other souls. What do I take a dominion of? I take dominion over my own soul. Don't you know in Proverbs 11:30, he that wins souls is wise? That is the person who knows how to rule his own heart well. The person who can rule his own spirit is greater than he that can rule over a nation. The cities in the Old Testament were nations. Isn't that what the Bible says? The person who can rule his own spirit is greater than one who can rule a nation. This is how it happens. And somehow the Word of God flowing out of me, through me, the life of God flowing into me, through me, and out of me, this produces something in me. It produces the ability for me to rule my own soul, and I take dominion over the things that are in me. And I take dominion over the fruit that I have, over the life that I impart. I take dominion over my own life. I take dominion over all the things that are natural and supernatural in my life. Why? Because as I am initiated to, I initiate. I am both a responder and an initiator. And as the life of God is flowing through me, this is where I gain my victory. And God said in verse 29, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed. I've given you all this fruit, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. I feed on my own life at this point. I get the Jesus' confession, I have meat of which you don't know anything. Why? Because my own flow, my own relationship with the Father through the Word of God sustains me. And it's meat to me. And I feed from my own fruit. I feed from the life of God and the love of God that I receive through the Holy Spirit of God imparting the Word of God to my heart. And I feed on it. And it sustains me. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the ground, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Everything becomes fruit to me. Absolutely everything becomes meat to me. Everybody I meet is a source of life to me. How? Because the life of God is flowing in me into them. And in order for it to flow out of me into them, it has to flow into me first. But you know what? You ever empty out a hose? You ever empty out a hose? How do you empty out a flooded basement? You fill the hose with water and you let the hose run out the window, and all of a sudden, even though the window is above the basement, it still empties out. Why? Because as I flow out, as I pour out, God pours in. As I pour out, God pours in. And this becomes my meat. And this becomes my life. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was good. And the morning, and the evening, and the morning were the sixth day. This is the day of man. This is the day when man reflects the image of God. When this flowing takes place, when this fruit is not only fruit, but life. Now I reflect the image of God. Do you see why I tell you, please, 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 get built up in the Word of God every day. Don't neglect hearing the Word of God. Get built up every day. Don't withdraw, draw near. Don't be petty in your lives. Christianity is plagued with pettiness. Don't be petty in your lives. It is your own downfall. Don't be petty in your lives. Don't be moody and reactionary and emotional. What are those things? Those are the beggarly elements. Live unto the glory of God who had made you to be glorious. Experience the life of God. Get the Word of God every day, every day, every day. That's the only way to escape who I am in my fleshly humanity. It's only through the Word of God. Do you see it? Only through the Word of God. That's my only provision, and I need it every day. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect it. Draw near to it. Eat it. Masticate it. Don't feel like it. Don't care. Who cares if I feel like it? Where is it written that I ever have to feel like it? I live in faith obedience. God said, I esteem my word above all things that are necessary. Why? Because it's my life. Do you get it? Let's repeat. The Word of God is my life. Repeat this. The Word of God is my life. The Word of God is my life. Nowhere else will I find life apart from the Word of God. I don't care what you do. I don't care who you talk to. I don't care where you go. It's only in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. Listen. You need it more than anything else. Get it every single day. You need it more than anything else. That's your source of victory. That's your source of faith. That's your source of overcoming. That's your source of strength. It's in the Word of God. There is no other source apart from the Word of God. You can turn to anything you like. You can ignore it all you like. You can do whatever you like, but you will never find another source. It's in the Word of God. Don't neglect it. It's your life that's at stake. Don't you know why people are so miserable all the time? They lack the Word of God in their soul. So their soul responds to everything. You know what they need when they get to that place? What do you do with an anorexic? You make them eat. What do I do if I've been spiritually anorexic? I make myself eat. Whether I feel like it or not, because no anorexic ever feels like it. But the only way to save their life is to make them eat. The only way to save the spiritual life of the spiritual anorexic is to make them eat the Word of God. I get a little disciplined with myself. I don't coddle myself. You know, one of the problems we have today is we live in a soft, spineless, wimpy Christianity. I get some guts, I get into the Word, I get into the lost, I win them, I tell people about the Savior, I let the life of God flow out of me, I get into my church, I get into trusting God, and I stop playing tiddlywinks. Stop fooling around when there's an eternal God on a throne and my life is seated above in heavenly places in Him. There's no room for fooling around. There's no room for playing tiddlywinks. I get into the Word of God. I get into doing things God's way. I respond to God. Where does it all come from? What if I don't have any of these things? Then I simply start with the Word of God. Because I do have that. I listen to the preacher preach. I draw near to my pastor. I draw near to my Bible. I draw near to His Word. I start meditating. I start listening. I start playing discs with messages. I start reading my Bible. And I get into the Word of God. Everybody can do that. You don't force feed a full dinner to an anorexic. You start with a few bites. So I've neglected the Word, so I start with a few bites. I start with what my capacity can handle, but I start and I keep at it. And pretty soon my capacity will be bigger and bigger. I get into the Word of God. People try to live apart from the Word of God on the strength of their own soul. By the way, that's the only thing you can live off of. The only way you can live, and it's not spiritual living, it's living in death. If you're trying to live apart from the Word of God, you're trying to live being sustained by your own soul. It's not going to sustain you. In Habakkuk 2:4, behold, the soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. So if I try to live by my own soul, I try to live by how it feels. I feel like this or I feel like that. This trial makes me feel this way, and this trial makes me feel that way. Responding in faith makes me feel like this, and responding in faith makes me feel like that. Responding to the Word of God makes me feel this way, and not responding makes me... You know what? It doesn't make a hell of beans of difference how it feels. Truth is truth. God is God. The Word's the Word. Promises are promises. And every one of them is yea and amen. I don't care how it feels. Respond to the Word of God and the feelings will fall in line. People try to live apart from the Word of God, so they reach out with their feelings to see what is good and what isn't, what they like, what they don't like. How's this circumstance? How's that one? What does this look like? What does that look like? I don't care what it looks like. God is God, His Word is Word, truth is truth, and reality exists. So let's live in reality. The just shall live by faith. And where does that faith come from? The Word of God. Where does the Word of God get its life? The love of God. Why? Faith works by love. The energization of faith is the love of God. The substance of faith comes from His Word being preached. Faith comes by hearing. Job 10:19, Thou hast made me as clay. God has made me to be clay. What does that mean? That He's constantly imparting His life to me as He is molding me. That's what that means. In Jeremiah 18:4, and the vessel that He made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Isn't this a little bit strange? The vessel that He made was marred in the hand of the potter, so He made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. What does that mean? God will always mar the vessel. Why? Because the vessel needs to be marred so that it can be made again. See, God will always bring out the impurities. God will always turn up the heat so the dross comes up. God will always mar the vessel so He can make it again. So it's a perfect vessel that is a perfect home for the perfect God. God will always mar the vessel and He'll make it again. Job 33 and verse 4, the Spirit of God hath made me and the breath of God hath given me life. I'm made by God and I'm made again. And God breathes in me His life and then He breathes again. And every aspect of my life that becomes conformed to His life is an aspect where I've been made again and the life of God has been imparted again through the life-giving breath of the Spirit. Don't you understand? This is how the Holy Spirit works. In Matthew 4:4, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. That's the breath. The word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what the breath brings. That's how I am conformed. That's how I am transformed. By the breath that proceeds from the mouth that gives the words. In Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Do you understand what this is saying? That God will continuously bring me in different areas of my life where I go from faith to faith. In other words, I have to respond to God in faith. And He will continuously bring me, mark this, God will continuously bring you to a place in your life where you have to respond by faith. And that's the only way you can grow. That's the only way you can experience what it means to be the just. God will always bring a trial and a test, and God will always remove sight, and God will always ask me just to believe His word. Because the just live by faith, and it's the word that produces life in me. Do you see how this works? A little bit of light in an area where there is darkness, as the Spirit calls unto the deep. And then He produces a kingdom and fruit. And then there's soil. And then there's reproduction of that fruit. And then there's the life of God. And then there's a transformed believer who knows what it means to live by faith. People kick against the pricks. What does that mean? I fight against faith. I fight against just believing Him. I fight against the simplicity of saying, this is what God says, it must be so. Why? I try to understand in my intellect and my natural ability to evaluate so that I can have some form of sight to go by. And God takes it away. Why? So that I can walk in faith. Because that's the only way I can please Him. Do you get it? So we go in our lives and things are good and we're being blessed and we're getting promises or the word or prayer answers or whatever it may be, and then all of a sudden there's darkness and God's removed the sight. Why? So that I can go from faith to faith. All the sight will come back after I don't need it. And then He'll take me to another area where He removes the sight. And that sight will come back after I don't need it. And I go from faith to faith. And I become experientially just before God. through His Word. It's only through His Word. You know?